Good morning.
Good morning.
I appreciate our brother Eric. I texted him a little bit ago and asked if he could open up. I was running a little behind, definitely a good snowy morning here. So I want to dive in. I actually want to start with a scripture and then I'll kind of get my thoughts going here a little bit. I'm going to start with a couple scriptures actually. I want to open with Psalms 46 and the 10th verse, and then I'm actually going to come back to that at the end of my sermon, but I want to open with Psalms 46:10, and it's a scripture we all know. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And then I want to go to, and I'm going to come back to that, but I want to go to Mosiah, the second chapter, and a scripture that we all know. We know very well, and we hear it regularly, Mosiah 2, the 12th through the 17th verse. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he hath created all things both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. I wanted to open with both of these scriptures and kind of a couple scriptures that have been on my mind lately. If I were to put a title on my sermon today, I would put it as our identity in our walk with Christ. I keep kind of thinking about, actually, Michelle and I were kind of talking through some stuff, and last weekend I was in Missouri, and we were driving and kind of talking about some things and kind of thinking through some things, and then kind of throughout the week we kept kind of talking about this, and Michelle sent me a text, and she had sent me a text of this scripture, Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I'm God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. And kind of the, you know, one of the things that I grew up where my dad was always very much, and both my parents really were very much encouraging us, my brother and my sister, before we go cut the grass, did you say a prayer? Or we were going to go on a long trip, you know, we would offer a prayer. And I would say, you know, my identity, no doubt, I was interviewed this week by my little niece. As I went through this interview with her, you know, she asked me, one of the questions she asked me was, tell me about your childhood. And as I look back at my childhood, you know, I told her that, you know, my memories of my childhood, a lot centered around, of course, my parents, of course, my brother and my sister, you know, of course, the time we traveled a lot, and a lot of our travels was, you know, related to my dad's job, and we would go on a trip, and my dad would do sales calls, but then we would kind of see different places as we went. So I remember traveling a lot as a kid, and I remember a lot of what we did really centered around church. We would go to Colorado, and my dad would do business trips and along the way, and then we'd go to the Colorado reunion. Or we would go to Arizona, and again, my dad would make calls, it would be a business trip, and then we would go to the Phoenix reunion. Or whatever it may be, it was so much of, as I look back talking to my niece, and as I kind of think about my identity and ultimately my walk with Christ, I don't know that I would have chosen a different way because it was so prevalent and so much a part of our life. I say that because I think about, you know, as I think about, I think about children and young adults, and ultimately as we kind of progress through our life, you know, we have to make a decision. And sometimes, you know, our spiritual walk is You know, I look out in this local and I see a lot of you that grew up in church. Many of you grew up in a part of this local or around, you know, whether it was, you know, I grew up and heard of Brother Lussington, right? That was a name that I heard of and that I knew and would see at reunions or see at conference. You know, we all have our walk, but ultimately, you know, our walk is beyond just that association, but our walk is ultimately, you know, that connection to God, our own connection to God. And I think about that a lot of times when I'm seeing, you know, when I'm trying to make a decision on something or I'm seeking the Lord's direction on something. I told one of my aunts last weekend at church, you know, I don't know that I distinctly remember specifically hearing the voice of the Lord. I don't know that I've had the lightning bolt that struck and said, you know, thou shalt, Jeff, go do whatever. But I do feel that prompting and I do feel that leading. And you know, I think that as I think about my own spiritual walk, it's not something that is just, you know, I don't mean this in a bad way. It's not guilt by association, but it's ultimately, you know, that purposeful intent. And I think that's what I kind of want to lean into today is our walk is a purposeful intent and needs to be a purposeful intent. Turn with me to Joshua, the first chapter. And I'm going to read a few verses here. So Joshua 1, and I'm going to start at the first verse and kind of read a little bit through the chapter. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land, which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. And you know, I have this thought when I think about that experience. And none of us know Moses, right? But we know of the story of Moses. But, you know, my assumption is that Moses was probably a strong-willed, strong individual that was very strong in his faith, strong in his belief, and was an influential person within a whatever the spiritual walk was of the people at that time, specifically of Joshua, an influence in Joshua's life. I think about, you know, those people that were influences in my life. No doubt my parents, right? No doubt was my mom and dad you know, whether I liked it or not, going to church on Sunday morning or going to church on Sunday night or going to church on Wednesday night, you know, it was from that prompting of my parents. But I look back and it was a relationship that I had with my parents, a respect that I had with my parents. But as a young age, a lot of my spiritual walk was dependent on the direction and encouragement that my parents gave me, right? But then we reach a point, and I think, you know, this is, I was thinking of, I think it was a week ago, Wednesday night, if you were on the Wednesday night church service, there was an individual that was from, I don't remember where he's originally from, I want to say maybe India or somewhere, but he's in Dubai, and he was on the Wednesday night church service, and he introduced himself. He was an individual recently baptized. Brian and Dwayne went over, I think, to Dubai, and he was baptized there. And this individual talked about his, he had met Buzz Brickhouse online and had had multiple conversations with Buzz, and that was kind of his connection to Christ. And he mentioned, you know, how much he appreciated Buzz's, you know, just engagement, connection, and talking to him. But it was, you know, it was that thought in my mind, and much like the scripture was, is it, all of you knew Buzz. Everybody knew Buzz. Buzz didn't walk in a room and you didn't know Buzz, and the confidence and the leadership and the example, right? But there reaches a point that Brother Buzz passed away and is no longer around, you know, an individual that was influenced in my life, my Uncle Frank Fan. And my uncle was not an individual that would walk in the room with that same, you know, kind of, you know, he would walk in the room and he was comfortable just sitting back and listening and But he was an influential person. My point is we all reach that point that, I don't know if anybody knows this, but we reach a point in life where we age and we eventually pass and recognize that there is that next generation. I heard someone the other day make a comment to me, and 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Michelle and I went to Phoenix, and went to Phoenix for a long weekend, and I was talking to somebody, I don't remember who it was, but the comment was made of our next generation is struggling, right? I mean, if we did a average age of the people within this room, it's probably older than me, and I'm 54 years old. Right? And the point is, and I'm not, you know, not to scare any of us, but ultimately, you know, this identity can't be tied to, right, as I think about our young brother that's working the computer system back there, right? His identity can't be tied to what is his mom and dad making him come to church, right? But his identity at some point has to be a decision that's made, is my identity, is my walk with Christ, right? How I control that, right? I'm 54 years old, and sometimes I look back and think about, you know, I'm still just a kid. But in reality, I'm a grandpa, right? I'm married to a grandma, right? We've got another grandbaby on the way, and no longer am I that kid. You know, it is truly that walk that I have to take on my own and not dependent upon, you know, my brother or sister or my parents who were that influence, who have been in that influence, is ultimately my decision. And so continuing on, Joshua, the first chapter, I'm going to pick back up at the third verse. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I gotten given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand there before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. Unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, and thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, my mom several years ago gave me a coffee mug, and I still have it. Actually, I drank coffee in it this morning, and that's what kind of prompted this thought. And on the side of the cup, it says, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And I think about that, you know, again, going back to my thought is Moses being a strong individual and clearly a strong leader and leading the people, but Moses passed. And then that point came when ultimately, you know, we have to stand on our own. And I think that's the point that I kind of keep coming back to. This thought in my mind is, you know, like in the ninth verse of what I read there, right? It says, be strong, standing strong in the Lord. You know, while this verse is speaking directly to Joshua, why this verse is speaking directly to the people of that time, you know, it is directly speaking to us. And it is that encouragement of, you know, there's, you know, a natural tendency that I can look at things and I can find the negative, but ultimately, no matter what the negative is, ultimately the good of God, the goodness of God, the grace that he has given, right? The protection that he has given, Our sister had a, you know, I'm sure she'll have a testimony that talks of, you know, her experience this past week of being in an auto accident and how she was blessed through that, right? You know, there is no doubt, you know, there's things that happen, but we can't not look and give recognition to the goodness and the grace of God and the goodness that he gives, right? At the time of Joshua and the time of Moses, what they were talking about, you know, the plight of the Israelites, you know, the pain they had to endure, right? The plagues that they suffered, right? Their trek through the land for 40 years. Think about, you know, how many of you enjoy moving, right? How many of you enjoy living out of a suitcase for an extended period of time? You know, let alone living out of a suitcase for 40 years on the move, right? And you know, the ultimate, you know, purpose behind why that was done and why that, you know, why that happened. So what does this mean for us, you know? And ultimately, you know, is, you know, and again, I go back to the first verse I started, right, is, as I'm seeking the direction of the Lord, and as I'm maybe may or may not be completely understanding or hearing the voice of the Lord, you know, having that confidence in that he is leading me and guiding me. And that's the encouragement that I want to give us today, right? We can, you know, we can, what is the song that it talks about, you know, that it says, you know, look for the beautiful, you know, look for the good, right? Look for those things that, you know, clearly the beauty of what we see. I actually kind of enjoyed the snow this morning, right? It was getting kind of, the melting snow was looking kind of drab. Yeah, I understand. But you know what? If it's going to be cold, let it snow, let it snow. Right? And how beautiful is it? How peaceful is it? Now, recognize, I really don't like cold, but it's beautiful. Right? And the roads are horrible. And it's, Chris, great to see you here today. Really surprised to see you here today. It's nasty out there. But there is good, right? There is that time that we have together. There is this opportunity that we have to come and to spend this time partaking of the word. And you know, my hope is that there's a message that you can take from this. But ultimately, you know, it's not about my message. It's about our opportunity that we have today to partake of the emblems, right? The opportunity that we have to partake of the broken body and spilled blood of Jesus Christ. The opportunity that we have to reflect on our lives. The opportunity that we have to re-engage, reconnect, re-energize, you know, our walk with him. I often remember when my niece was interviewing me, and it was kind of fun. I mean, it was fun to kind of reflect and you know, I'm an individual that I look back at different times in my life, and I don't think I have a great memory. I think I have a horrible memory. In fact, people that are on my team are always, you know, I'll tell them, hey, help me remember this, right? But I distinctly can look back in my life, and I can see times, and I can see experiences, I was on a flight and I saw there's a new movie out. It was like a second part of the movie, Gladiator. And it's ultimately in a setting that was at the Colosseum. And I distinctly remember, Michelle and I got an opportunity to go there. And I distinctly remember walking up the steps in the Colosseum, you know, the marble steps and how they're kind of grooved from, you know, thousands of years of people walking up these steps in their groove, right? I distinctly remember taking that step and feeling that. I distinctly remember, you know, when Michelle and I were married and seeing her for the first time at the temple lot, you know, coming down the aisle. I distinctly remember that. I distinctly remember there was a time when my Uncle Frank was up giving a sermon. It was at the East Local, and I distinctly remember sitting there, and his sermon was on reflecting on the year, right? And it was the beginning of the year, and it was, you know, reflecting on the year that we had and ultimately, you know, really challenging us to be thinking about our spiritual walk. And if I could convey any message today, would be that encouragement, right? That encouragement for each one of us in our spiritual walk. Turn with me to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew 5, I'm going to start at the third verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, there are several verses in this that really stand out, and I often think about, you know, this idea, and if you go back, you know, throughout these verses, the blessed are the pure in spirit, the blessed are they that mourn, you know, and you know, ultimately it starts off and it's you're thinking about others. Blessed are those that are poor in spirit, blessed are those that are mourn, blessed are those that are meek. But ultimately where this verse really drives down to is to each one of us, let our light so shine. I think about an example, and I remember one time I had a job where I had the company logo on the side of my truck, and I hated it because I drive way too fast, and I know I drive fast, and I represented my company, and it was my truck to drive, and I drove it everywhere, but I had to kind of think about, you know, we used to get calls from customers that would, fortunately not about me, but we would have employees drive in vehicles and it had the company logo on it, and somebody cut them off or something like that, right? And I think about, you know, that experience. I've probably told the example, you know, anytime I travel, I appreciate the fact that I travel enough that I have status that I can board the plane early. Because if I can't, I get anxious, right? I want that spot that I'm gonna put in my bag or whatever it may be. And Michelle tells me she hates traveling with me because I'll cut somebody off to get up as close as I can. I'm that horrible driver, or that horrible traveler, right? But I really, you know, it's not doing a good job of letting my light so shine. And silly example, but it's a real example of who we are and what we do and how we convey that message and that goodness of Christ. So I want to go to John and I want to go to John 10. And I'm going to kind of jump around 1 through 5 and then skip up to the 7th verse. So John 10, starting at the first verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that endureth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which spake unto them. And then the 7th verse. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an erring and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The yearling fleeth because he is an yearling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, my hope is that, you know, in each one of our lives, and I share that verse is ultimately, you know, I go back and the you know, kind of what I shared earlier is that I don't know that I've heard that lightning bolt and that lightning crash and that voice that came through and told me something that I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. But I've heard that prompting. I felt the prompting of the Spirit. I felt that encouragement, or I felt that confidence as we step out in faith. I think it is done by, and it is exercised through, and is strengthened by, right? It is strengthened by that time that we have. Coming together as brothers and sisters. Coming together and partaking of the emblems. You know, coming together and renewing and strengthening our lives and strengthening ourselves as we have that walk. And so, you know, I really want to challenge each of us today, right? I want to challenge us to find the goodness in our walk, right? Find the goodness in the connection that we have with Christ. Find the goodness in the service that we have, you know, this time that we have to come together to seek the Lord's direction, the time that we have to come together to strengthen ourselves, right? The time that we have to come together to stand and give those testimonies of the goodness of God and the goodness and grace that he has given us, right? The time that we have to renew and strengthen as we partake of the emblems and as we have to come and strengthen ourselves with our brothers and sisters. I want to close, and I want to go back to Psalms 46, and I want to read all of that as probably my final thoughts here today. So Psalms 46, and I'm going to start at the beginning, and I'm going to kind of jump around here a little bit and reinforce kind of the message that I really took away from, you know, when Michelle sent me this verse and kind of drew me to this chapter and kind of some of the thoughts that I'd had. So Psalms 46, starting at the first verse, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Right. It's, you know, this idea of trusting in God's, whether it's, you know, what this is encouraging is trusting in God even in a time of trouble, but how we trust in God all the time. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Excuse me real quick. I'm going to pull this up on my app. All right, I'm going to read that again. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Right? So as you think about, right? So it starts in the very beginning of trusting in God. Whether it's, you know, whether it's in these times of troubles that's referenced, but whether it's just in our spiritual walk, right? The strength that we can draw on, finding the beauty of those things around us. The second and third verse talk about rejecting fear, right? Even in chaos. And I can tell you, our nation is in chaos, right? Sometimes our lives are in chaos. But we can reject that fear. Our sister I had the opportunity to go over and visit our sister, and I felt bad. I was out of town when she was in the accident, and I couldn't come and minister to her. And her comment to me was, as I apologized to her, was, don't let, I don't remember exactly what it was.
Don't let the father of lies guilt you.
Don't let the father of lies guilt you. And I appreciated that comment. Not, you know, I still feel, I want to be available. I want to be accessible, right? But I appreciated that comment, right? Don't let doubt and fear distract in our walk. Right? The fourth and the fifth verse talks about seeking God's presence for peace, right? Seeking that strength that we can draw on. The sixth through the ninth verse talks about recognizing his power, the strength that we can draw on through that power. The tenth verse, of course, is the focus, be still and trust in him, rest in the assurance of his presence, right? And that's my encouragement for us today as we kind of transition in this service over to a time of sacrament, as we transition, you know, whatever the point of time it is in our life, right? Going back to the very beginning, right? It's, you know, my identity and my walk, a lot of my life, while very tied to the church, was tied to my parents. Or my identity and my walk was tied to that example, was I knew that Buzz was going to be there and was going to take care of a situation, or I knew that my Uncle Frank was going to be there and take care of the situation, or my dad. My dad's getting older, right? I can see that. And that time of just being reliant on them ultimately comes to this reliance on each one of us, right? Is while we are draw strength from those around us, while we draw strength from, you know, our brothers that are of service, it is truly comes down to that ultimate responsibility within us, our walk, our dependency on Christ. I want to be here to serve, I want to be here to help, but each one of us have a responsibility in that walk and that tie and that connection to Christ. Thank you.